Hello and welcome to Hot Girls Code, a podcast all about the tech industry, software development, and being a woman in tech. I'm your host, Aughty.
And I'm your host, Lola. Now, today's episode is a doozy. We're going to talk about how the internet works. I feel like it's so weird being our age in our mid-20s because we're one of the first generations to actually have grown up on the internet, you know? I can actually remember when I was a kid, when my brother came up to me and he was like, tell our parents how much you want the internet. If we get the internet, you can play all these extra games. Because he just kept on bugging them for ages, being like, oh, can we please get the internet? And I was like, I don't know what this thing is, but if I get to play all these extra games, like, I'm totally in. And then eventually my parents caved and it worked. And I was introduced to my first love in life, Club Penguin.
Oh my gosh, Club Penguin's such a throwback. I love that. I think my first like intro to the internet was watching my sister play Neopets. And I just thought it was the greatest thing ever. Side note, I did actually recently learn that Neopets was run by like people from the Church of Scientology.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not something I would have guessed.
I had no idea. Like apparently they didn't have anything like in it that was trying to convert people, but the people, they were Scientologists, so that's a fun fact for everyone. But yeah, I totally agree with what you said earlier. It's crazy to think that all of us have like grown up on the internet and we constantly use it, but we don't know how it actually works. And I remember the first time I learned about how the internet works at uni, I was like, oh, so that's what's going on?
And that is the feeling that we want everyone listening today to have. Because as per usual, we are here to explain how something that may seem super confusing and mysterious actually isn't. But before we get into that and how the internet works, let's start by expressing some gratitude. So, Aughty, what are you grateful for this week?
Something that I am really grateful for, if you know me day to day, you've probably heard me talk about this a lot. Lola's not going to be surprised. It's vitamin D supplements.
Oh my gosh.
Recently, I have been like really tired, really brain foggy. I had COVID a couple months back. I thought it was from that. And I went to my doctor because I was like, I feel so bad. And it's affecting like my work and my life. And she was like, it sounds like you might be vitamin D deficient. And I was like, wait, what? I didn't even think about that. Like, I thought I was dying. I didn't actually, but, you know, I was being dramatic. She did some blood tests. Turns out I was hella vitamin D deficient. And then she gave me these extra strong supplements to take. And oh my goodness, it has changed my life. It is so amazing. My brain fog is entirely gone. I'm so wide awake and present. And it's just, yeah. And I just like remember it was getting to the end of the 2 weeks and I was starting to like feel a bit crappy again. And then I got to take another like supplement and I was like, woo, I'm ready. I'm pumped. So yeah, that's what I'm grateful for is vitamin D supplements.
So an important action for all of our listeners is get your vitamin D checked because, you know, we've all been spending a lot of time indoors the past couple years. I remember when I was a kid, me and my brother and my mum all got prescribed vitamin D and the doctor was like, yeah, everyone in, because I lived southernmost in the South Island, so it was quite cold, didn't get a lot of sun. And she said, oh yeah, everyone here probably needs this because we get no sun.
Yeah, and especially if you're in Auckland where we had like no sun in the summer and now it's winter, definitely get your vitamin D levels checked or just buy those like daily supplements and see if it makes a difference. And what about you, Lola? What are you grateful for this week?
So this week I am grateful for the video game Terraria. I hope I'm actually saying that right. I have played a ridiculous number of hours this week. So me and my partner started playing it together because we were just like, oh, let's find a game that we can like build a wee world together and like play together. It'll be really fun. And then we started playing this game and it's kind of like 2D platformer game, like kind of think like Pokemon kind of vibes and like with little cute like characters and little animals and stuff. And then you collect all these resources and then you build like little houses and then people move into your village.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I love this already.
It's so cute. And then the people who move in are like merchants and they sell things and you can like buy things and like new wallpaper to decorate the walls and like you can discover all these new materials and the different biomes and stuff.
Oh my gosh, I love this so much already.
You need to download it. It's like, it's genuinely addicting. Like it is influencing my personal life now. I stayed up until 5 a.m. a couple nights ago on a work night Literally. So, like, me and my partner, we're playing from maybe, like, 7 p.m. to 12 p.m., like, midnight. And at that point, my partner was like, okay, I'm going to go to bed. So just bear in mind, that's already 5 hours of playing. And then my partner went to bed at midnight, and I was like, oh, I'll just play for a little bit more. And then next minute, it's 5 a.m.
I feel like I definitely should not be playing this game, because I think I'd do the exact same thing.
It's really bad. So I need to learn some boundaries with video games. But that's what I'm grateful for this week.
I love that. Sounds like such an adorable game, though. I'll definitely check it out. Now that we're feeling all zen and grateful, and we're going to go get some vitamin D and go play Terrarium.
I think Terraria.
Yeah, and play a new video game, let's talk about the internet. Today, we are going to be talking about how information flows throughout the internet and between devices by talking through a very important concept that the entire internet is built on, networking.
We'll be talking through some of the different elements that make up the internet, such as browsers, domains, IP addresses, routers, caches, all sorts of words that you may or may not have heard before. Today, we're going to put all of those words into context and explain every part of it so that after this episode, you will be an expert on all of the basics that make up the internet.
And if you've gotten this far and you're wondering, well, do I really need to understand how the internet works? I've gotten this far without it. Well, if you want to be a web developer, it's 100% important that you understand how the internet works so you can build websites that live on it. And if you're like, well, Audie, I don't want to be a web developer. Well, like we said, the internet is something we use every day, and it's fun to just demystify it.
Something fun to, you know, bring up at your next barbecue and be like, did you know this is how the internet works? We believe in no gatekeeping here. We want this knowledge to be shared, and today we're going to share it with you. So let's get into today's episode. Today we're going to chat through the journey that data takes when you go on a website. We're going to talk through all the steps that happen when you type in a website's URL and hit enter, like where the content of the web page comes from and how the data on the web page actually gets back to you. To begin with, we're going to take you through a quick overview of the flow of how you get things over the internet.
Let's start with the most important part, you. So, you're sitting on your computer and you type in a web URL in Safari or Chrome. What happens behind the scenes?
Well, a request for the information on that site is sent out over the network. And if you're like, wait, but what's a network? Don't worry, we're going to explain a bit more about networks in a minute. But back to this request, traveling over the network. So this request for information travels over the network and it hits the domain name system along the way to find the right server to go to.
We explained what servers were in a lot of detail back in our Basics of Infrastructure episode, but a quick recap explanation is that basically a server is where a website's data lives. We'll talk a bit more about this later in the episode, so if you're still a bit lost, don't worry. So, once the request knows what server to go to, that server receives that request and it can then send a response back to your computer. The data in this response is the stuff that makes up the website, like images or texts or videos, and it can sometimes be stored in something called a cache on your browser,
which we will be delving into near the end of this episode. But now that we've super briefly gone through the process of how things flow on the internet, let's get into breaking down each of those steps and, of course, explaining some of that funky terminology.
Firstly, there are a few terms you've probably heard thrown around, and we just want to clarify what they mean. What we'll be going through is kind of what the differences are between a web browser versus a web page versus a website. So let's start with a web browser. Browsers are super important software applications because they are the thing that lets you access and interact with the internet. You probably use a browser most days. It's your Google Chrome, your Firefox, or Safari, or Microsoft Edge.
Ooh, interesting. Controversial input there, Microsoft Edge.
You know, I just want to make sure we're accepting of everyone. Like, we don't judge you for the browser that you use. Maybe you have, like, a work computer that doesn't let you install anything other than Microsoft Edge.
one of the external teams that we work with, like at another company, so they use Microsoft Edge, and they've found a couple of like really niche edge case bugs that we can't replicate on, like, even on Microsoft Edge, like on our laptops. For some reason, we can't replicate the bugs, and we're just like, ugh, Microsoft Edge.
Yeah, I've heard that like a lot of people like in like government jobs have to use like Microsoft Edge and stuff and like specific random versions because of security. But because of that, they'll have like old stuff that will be like, well, other people don't have that issue, so sorry.
Google Chrome till I die. But that's enough about web browsers. Let's talk about web pages. So what is a web page? So web pages are documents, usually HTML, that you view in the web browser.
A web page can be as simple as a plain text document with words on your screen, or as complex as a multimedia-rich interactive site with parts of the page that play videos and have cool things on it.
A sparkle cursor.
Like a sparkle cursor. And when you look up a URL in your web browser, you are normally viewing a web page. Okay. So now you know that you use a web browser to look at web pages, but what exactly is a website?
A website is just a collection of multiple web pages that are linked together under the same domain name. We're going to talk about domain names in a lot more detail soon, but the main thing you need to know right now is that it's just a unique name that appears after the, you know, www of a web address. For example, www.facebook.com, and Facebook is the domain name.
So compared to a web page, a website is like a broader term that includes lots of web pages and also other resources like images, scripts, and style sheets. And these all live on a web server.
Alrighty, so now that we've got our heads wrapped around browsers, web pages, and websites, let's dig in a wee bit deeper into that request flow that we spoke about briefly earlier. When you want to visit a website, you type its address into your browser, right? Well, this sends a request to get the website's data. But where does the request go and how does it get there? Well, to answer that question, we're going to jump into a brand new topic, and that is networks.
We'll start off talking about the journey that requests take, and later on in the episode, we'll talk about where they end up.
It's all about the journey, guys. It's not the destination. It's about how you get there.
And that journey, in this instance, takes place over a network. So first things first, what even is a network? So networks are connections between different devices, where devices are like your computers, phones, or servers. And these connections allow the different devices to communicate and share information with each other.
Let's use a little analogy. So you can think of a network like a system of roads connecting different houses in a neighborhood. So in this instance, each house represents a device, like a computer or a phone, and the roads represent the connections between them. These connections let the devices send messages, share files, or access different content. Just as the roads in a neighborhood allow people to visit their neighbors, a network allows devices to connect and interact with each other.
There are a few different types of networks, but the main two we really care about in this episode are known as LAN, which is a local area network, and WAN, which is...
LAN and WAN. They sound like two like stepbrothers who are up to mischief, old LAN and WAN.
Yes, LAN and WAN, the two mischief brothers, or the LAN, the local area network, or local area network and wide area network.
So let's dig in to those two terms, LAN and WAN.
We can do this.
Okay. LAN is a network that connects devices in a specific location, like say an office or a house. If you think about how rooms in your house are connected by, you know, a hallway, devices in a local area network, also known as LAN, are connected with things like cables or Wi-Fi. These then let devices like computers and printers talk to each other and share information.
On the other hand, wide area networks, or WANs, connect multiple local area networks, or LANs, over a way bigger area, like different cities or even countries, allowing people and devices from different places to communicate and share information. So the internet is actually considered to be a WAN, except it isn't just one network. In the case of the internet, there are many networks all over the world that are interconnected, forming this massive global network.
So back to our example, when we type in a web address into a browser, it sends a request from the browser through the network and ends up at the server that holds the data for the website you want.
Simple, right? Well, there are a few more steps along the way. So since the internet is a bunch of different interconnected networks, we need to have a couple of things to help our request, you know, find the right way to go.
The thought of like a lonely internet request, like trying to find its way through the big wide web, honestly makes me want to cry.
It sounds kind of like, you know, like a Pixar movie, like Inside Out meets Big Hero 6. Like it teaches kids about how the internet works and, you know, you follow this like little request finding its destination server.
Trying to find its server, this little internet request just lost in the world wide web. Oh.
I feel like we should pitch this. I feel like this would actually be something that people would enjoy watching.
Honestly, I'm falling more and more in love with the idea as we talk about it. But luckily, we're going to have no lost internet requests here because, as Autie said, we do have a couple of ways to help our little request friend find where to go. The first of these ways are DNSs, or domain name systems. But before we can understand what a domain name system is, we first need to understand what IP addresses and domain names are. So firstly, IP addresses. This is something you've probably kind of heard of before, and it sounds kind of complicated, but it's pretty simple. An IP address is just like a unique address for a house, and every device that's connected to the internet has its own unique IP address, just like every house has a different address. You also might know IP addresses from TV shows where they're like, oh, we need to track down the IP address of this hacker or something like that. So that's all that it is. It's just a unique address for a device. So when you're visiting a website, you're actually making a request to its IP address to be like, hey, give me your information. And if you're wondering what they look like, it's that number that's like 172.217.12.14.
And you might be thinking, but wait, I don't have the IP address of my favorite website memorized. So how does my computer get the information for it? That is where domain names come in. We touched on this earlier, but domain names are basically the names that we use to identify websites. For example, www.google.com is a domain name, and that is probably what you have memorized. The domain name is just an easy to remember name that's associated with a physical IP address on the internet.
So we know we have IP addresses, we know we have domain names, but how does a browser go from the domain name that you enter to the IP address? Well, it uses a domain name system. When you look up a website's address in your web browser, your device needs to know the exact location of where that website lives on the internet. And this is where DNS comes in. The DNS will look for a match for the domain name you've typed in. If it finds a match, it'll direct your request to the right server's IP address. If it doesn't find a match, it'll send the request further up the chain to a server that has more information.
You can think of DNSs like the contact list on your phone, but it's for the internet. On your phone, you have your friend's number saved under their name or a fun nickname, and so if you want their number to text them, you search their name and their number will be mapped to it. A DNS is the same. It'll take a web address or domain name that's easy for a human to understand and remember, like Instagram.com, and it translates that to an IP address so that the computer can understand it and find the right server that has the information we're looking for.
So if we think about Instagram.com, when we type that into our web browser, the DNS translates that domain name into an IP address, like 172.217.12.14, which is the unique identifier for Instagram's unique server. Without DNS, we would have to remember all of these IP addresses instead of just the domain name.
That would be so gross.
Yeah, it would be very gross. I probably wouldn't use the internet, to be honest. I'm not so good with memorizing numbers.
Or like you'd have a post-it note, which would have like your five favorite websites that you like wrote the IP addresses down for, and then that'd be it. And then you'd never see the rest of the internet.
Yeah, like Imagine if you weren't able to save numbers to a contact, you'd have to remember just so many different number combinations.
I've gotten really bad at that recently, at like not saving people's like numbers in my phone. And so sometimes I'll like get a text message and I'll be like, who is this person? And then I have to like scroll up the message thread to try and like try to decipher who it is, and I have no clue.
I'm so bad at that as well. Or like, yeah, you get a text from someone and it sounds like they're like, oh, hey, how's it going? Like, blah, blah, blah. Like you have all this rapport and you're like, oh God, you are an unsafe number. Sorry.
Okay, so now that we know all about DNSs, let's do a quick recap before we move on. So far, we've talked about browsers, web pages, and websites, and then we explained networks, DNSs, and how IP addresses and domain names all tie into this. Next, we are going to talk about a key component of the internet's networking infrastructure, and that is routers.
So a router is a networking device that connects lots of other devices together and routes network traffic between them. You can think of a router like the central hub of your internet network. It connects to your internet service provider, which is just the company that provides you with internet access, and then it shares that internet connection to all of the devices in your home.
Just a quick side note. So the acronym for internet service provider is ISP, and I had actually heard the term ISP a bunch around, and I was like, what does this mean? What is an ISP? And it's going to be something so complicated. And when I found it, it was literally like, oh, it's the company that gives you internet. I was like, are you serious?
Oh.
Well, that was anticlimactic.
You demystified it for yourself.
Exactly. Anyway, back to routers. Routers act like traffic controllers, directing data that's been requested towards their destinations. They help connect your devices to the internet and direct the flow of information between the two. So just like when, you know, the power goes out at a traffic light and, you know, there are people that like good Samaritans that get out of their car and they start directing people to help, you know, the flow of cars continue and tell people like, okay, you go this way, now you go this way. A router does the same thing where it sends the data to the right devices.
When you send a request to access a website, the router makes sure the information reaches the right place by checking the destination IP address on the request. It then uses these complex algorithms, which we are definitely not going to go into, to determine the fastest and most efficient path for the request to take. And then off it goes.
Wow, routers are so smart. I can't believe they can do complex maths. We've now followed the journey of our request from being sent off by a browser over a network and using DNS, IP address, and routers to help it find its way. And now we're at our destination, servers.
Woo, servers.
So as we talked back in episode 24, all about the basics of infrastructure, a server is basically a powerful computer that stores and distributes information to other computers.
I remember when I first kind of found out about like how the internet works and just how what servers really are, and I found it so weird to think about the fact that all the stuff on the internet has to actually live somewhere, right? Like it has to physically be somewhere. It's not just magically on my computer. And the place that the stuff lives is in servers. And since servers are just computers with information, that means that servers where the information lives also have an IP address, and this is what helps other devices on the internet find the right place to go.
When a server receives your request, it finds the information you asked for and then it sends it back to your device. And if you're like, well, what's this information that it's sending back? It's just all the content that makes up the website you're visiting, like the text and the images or videos, you know, whatever's on the web page.
And that is the journey a request for information takes over the weird and wild internet. Starting from simply typing a website into a web browser, the request is sent over the networks of the internet, hitting the domain name system to figure out where to go. Once it's figured out which IP address is used by which domain name, it can figure out which server to go to get the information requested. And hey presto, at the snap of a finger, that information appears on your screen. But before we finish up today, we have a few more important concepts that we want to cover. And these concepts are hosting, caching, and CDNs.
Sometimes you'll hear about websites being hosted on servers. And for me personally, I always was like, what does that mean? Are they like throwing a party? Are they hosting a party?
Why wasn't I invited?
Exactly. But no, it's not a party. When you hear someone say something like, my website is hosted on host site's servers, this just means that that person's website lives on a server owned by the company host site, which just to be clear, as a company I just made up. You can host websites on your own servers, meaning your website data just lives on a server you own, but sometimes you or your company don't want to have to deal with maintaining the servers for the website. And in this case, they might rent space on a server owned by a hosting company to store their content instead. And then the hosting company is the one who keeps the servers running smoothly.
There are lots of different types of hosting, like shared hosting, dedicated hosting, and cloud hosting. Shared hosting means that your website is stored on a server with lots of other websites. It's got lots of friends there. While dedicated hosting means that your website is the one and only and it has a server all to itself. The third type, cloud hosting, is a newer type of hosting that lets you store your website on a network of servers, which can be more reliable and flexible than a single server.
We now want to touch on one last thing that helps the internet work as efficiently and smoothly and quickly as it does, and that is using caching and CDNs.
Firstly, I just want to say, I feel like it's so controversial whether it's cache or cache, and I just flip between the two because I honestly don't know what's right.
I also sometimes flip between the two, but that's because I just don't care.
That's also a valid reason.
People usually know what I mean.
If you have strong opinions on this, please come to our Instagram account at @hot_girls_code and let us know how you say cache. Cache, I don't know. But yeah, I'd love to hear some other opinions about this. But anyways, I'm going to say caching. Caching is the process of storing copies of data in a place that's closer to the user, basically so that it can be accessed faster in the future. When you visit a website, your browser actually downloads the website's data and stores it in a cache on your computer. So this means that the next time you visit that same website, your browser can find some of the data from the cache instead of downloading it again, which makes the website load faster.
I remember when I first learned that like the distance of where a website server lives versus where your computer is actually matters. I never thought of the internet as being a physical thing. But yeah, the data needs to physically travel to you and that takes time. And as you can imagine, the further away you are from the server a website lives on, the longer it takes for that data to travel to you. However, that is something that can be sped up using CDNs or content delivery networks. So these are just a network of servers whose entire jobs are to help distribute a website's content to users around the world. And they also help to make that distribution of the website content happen quickly and efficiently.
The main purpose of CDNs is to deliver the information on websites to people more quickly and efficiently. When a user requests a web page, or basically any online content, the request is first sent to a CDN server which is closest to the person's location. The CDN server then delivers that content to the user from the closest server in its network. It makes sense, right? You want to get something the closest because that's going to come to you the fastest. This helps reduce the distance that the data has to travel, which can make the website load way faster and act way more reliably.
So, for example, if Lola had just been on Instagram and she had loaded like a couple of posts and stuff like that, when I go to see those same posts on my phone will like ping the CDN and the CDN will be like, hey, I actually just downloaded this for Lola, so let me just give this to you. So it comes back from like the New Zealand CDN rather than going all the way to wherever the heck Instagram servers are.
And that is a wee overview of hosting, caches, and CDNs. And with that, it brings us to the end of today's episode. Today, we talked to you guys through how the internet works, from our lonely little request being sent out from a web browser, finding its way in the networks of the internet, using domain name systems and IP addresses, all the way to finding the server that it needs to get the information from. We also talked about that journey back from the server and how you can use caches and CDNs to help just make everything a little bit faster and easier.
In our next episode, we're going to be chatting all about why we love to work in tech. So if you are curious about, you know, the day-to-day life of a developer and what's so great about working in tech, well, make sure you tune in.
If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to leave a rating and subscribe to Hot Girls Code wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on Instagram and TikTok under @hot_girls_code to keep up to date with the podcast and learn more about the tech industry, software development, and being a woman in tech.
Thanks for listening.